The epistle for the Feast of the Holy Family is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the third chapter. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they going up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey, and sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and man. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And thinking he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem seeking him. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Throughout the time of World War II, the great navies of the world made a significant change in how they sent their fleets to sea. At the beginning of World War II, battleships were considered the most important ship in any navy, but as the war progressed and the use of aircraft became more prevalent, the aircraft carrier soon made the battleship obsolete. During the war, then, you had fleets that were at one time based on a battleship or on an aircraft carrier. But there was quite a surprise at one time during the war when a command went out on the Atlantic Ocean for all the ships to surround one of their own destroyers. Now, destroyers were never the central fleet of the ship, nor were they usually occupied by any high-ranking officers. But the orders, especially during war, were orders, and so they must be followed. So all the other vessels pulled in very close formation around this destroyer. Then after a few hours, the ships were ordered back to their normal positions. And it was not till much later that the whole story of what happened was released. You see, one of the midshipmen on the destroyer was in need of an immediate and most delicate surgery to save his life. The doctors had contacted the command staff and petitioned to have the destroyer surrounded by all the other ships. They did this so that the other, much bigger ships would take the brunt of the choppy waters. And so the aircraft carriers, the battleships, and all the other ships surrounded that destroyer, so that the doctors could operate on that young man in a sea that was as peaceful and calm as possible. By surrounding the destroyer, the captains of all the other ships truly helped the doctor to save that young man's life. And my dear friends, on today's feast, the Church turns our attention first and foremost to our Lord, our Lady, and Saint Joseph, the members of the Holy Family. We are especially called upon to consider the events surrounding the finding of our Lord in the temple as a young boy. And as we consider these events, which are narrated to us in the Gospel of the Holy Family, At this time, we see Our Lady and Saint Joseph persevering through a very trying time, and it can help us to stop and consider our own families. As we consider both those families, the Holy Family that we read about in the Gospel, and our own family, we can ask ourselves, is there someone in my own family who is lost? Now, sadly for us traditional Catholics, the answer is almost universally yes. Almost every one of us have a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle, sometimes even a parent or a spouse who is not practicing the Catholic faith as they should. These members of our family, then, are lost to us in the sense that they do not live their lives in a way that gives us a hope for their eternal salvation. For some of us, maybe our loved ones have left the faith or never accepted it, or they are just confused by all the changes that have come in the wake of the Second Vatican Council. There is also the state of affairs in the world, the civil governments, anxiety about so many things that can keep souls away from trusting God and His enduring providence. Maybe sometimes for our non-Catholic relatives, there is the millstone of worldliness hung about their neck. All of the forbidden entertainments, ambitions, and desires of the world enslave poor souls in sin every day. And like true slaves, these worldly and sinful desires keep them bound and unable to move towards the one true faith. And so it is that many of our families know the sadness of having non-Catholic family members. But just as Our Lady and Saint Joseph were sad at losing our Lord and anxious to find Him again as soon as possible, so are our hearts saddened and anxious to get our family members back to the one true faith. Like Our Lady and Saint Joseph, though, we must make sure that our first recourse at this time is to Almighty God. We must make sure that we take the same steps that they took to find the lost member of their family that first time that they lost our Lord in the temple. We have to trust and put our faith in divine providence, just as Our Lady and Saint Joseph did. We have to remember that God loves the souls of all those He creates with an infinite love, and He actually desires them to be saved more than we even could. And so while we wait for the workings of His divine providence, there are the efforts that we too must take. We must be like the captains on those Navy vessels who all worked together to keep things calm for that one destroyer. Many of the high-ranking officers could have questioned such a command. Why did they have to surround an insignificant ship? Wasn't it dangerous to pull all the ships so close together in submarine-infested waters? These and many other questions could have been raised, but they weren't. All they knew was that they were supposed to follow their orders, and they did so. And as a result, their obedience helped to save the life of that young soldier. We too must surround our non-Catholic loved ones in a certain manner. That is, we must surround them by our prayers and our good example. If they are close to us, physically, if they are in our lives, then we must often make sure that we are always a good example around them. They must see the virtues of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in our lives. They must see that we are patient under times of adversity, that we are kind to others regardless of how we are treated, that we are merciful, humble, and firm in our convictions. We must be sure to set these virtues as parts of our life so that they can be a good example to our loved ones. They should see in our conduct that there is nothing offensive or out of the ordinary about a person who does the will of God in all things. And when added to these measures, there must also be our prayers, our sacrifice, and our good works. We must pray for the conversion of our family members. In this work, we will be mindful of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, in their resignation and their dedication. How many prayers Our Lady must have said over those 3 days to find her child again. But we know that she would have always added to those prayers, just as her son did in the garden, that God's will be done in all things. This is how we too must pray for our loved ones. When we have set them the good example, and when we have prayed for them, we must make sure that we persevere in doing this until God sees fit to bring their souls into the one true faith. If even the Holy Family suffered the cross of being split up for a time, we cannot expect any different in our families. At the same time, though, let us make sure that we follow their example and do all that we can through prayer, sacrifice, and good example until we are once again united in the true faith. Ask the Holy Family today, then, to help you to have your family united in the one true faith, in the house of God, just as when the Holy Family was finally reunited in today's gospel, we find them united in the house of God at their time, the Temple of Jerusalem. With their grace, then, coming to us and our efforts, we can bring our family members back to the one faith, and then one day our family will be united in heaven with the Holy Family forever and ever. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.